Reading this morning is found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. We begin reading at verse 11 and read to the end of the chapter. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Before we turn to the catechism, we read from Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. In connection with the seventh commandment, Ephesians 5, verse 3, and I'll be referring to various verses throughout that chapter as we deal with the seventh commandment. Ephesians 5, verse 3 says, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. It's upon this verse and many other verses of Scripture that the Catechism bases its teaching in Lord's Day 41. Questions and answers 108 and 109, which read as follows. Question What doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God. And that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians in the chapter that we read declares, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. You were children of the devil, but now you have been made children of Christ." Jesus Christ gave Himself a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor to redeem us from our bondage to sin. He loved us so much that He gave Himself a sacrifice. He went to the cross to deliver us from that bondage, and now, because He has earned our salvation, He gives to us the blessings of salvation, even the first fruits of our glorious inheritance. That's how the inspired apostle begins this section of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. This is what is true of you. These are the blessings that God has given you. And now, how should you respond? Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 8, the same chapter. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. How should we respond? Walk as children of light. And then the flip side of that same admonition is found in verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. And then verse 11 as well. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How should you and I respond to the glorious truth of our salvation in Jesus Christ? Unfruitful works of darkness surround us. Fornication, sadly, is so common in our society that almost half of the children born are born out of wedlock. Just 35 years ago, it was more like 1 in 10. As much as he can, the devil aims to put fornication in front of us, aims to drag us away from God into the way of sin. How much is the media saturated with fornication, television programs, advertisements, the internet, the music on the radio, novels, billboards, it's all around us. Even when we sit at our computers, emails invite us to answer and get pictures in return. Skype messages from strangers with suggestive names invite us to call them back. And then in the workplace, there too, the devil seeks to drag us away from the right way. Co-workers of the opposite sex strike up friendly conversations. And the devil is using all of these things to try to drag us away from God, to drag us back into the darkness. But by God's grace, beloved, we confess that we are no longer children of darkness. Children of darkness walk only in darkness, and they hate the light. We are no longer children of darkness. Yes, we have darkness yet in our hearts, but we are not under its bondage. God has given us life in Jesus Christ. And since we are children of light, and that's really the only explanation, because God has made us children of light, we want to live chastely and temperately. And then we see our sinfulness. We see how the devil attacks us. We see how our old man drags us back into the darkness. And then we call out to God for help, because we can't fight this battle by ourselves. Our salvation is in Christ alone. God calls us to live chastely and temperately. Let's consider the truth of Scripture under that theme, living chastely and temperately. Notice in the first place what that means. Secondly, I want to treat how we carry out that calling, and lastly, why we want to live this way. Why do we want to live chastely and temperately? And that is to give glory to God. As is the case with other commandments, when God forbids something in the commandment, the implication is that He is requiring us something else. When God forbids adultery, when He forbids the hatred of our nature of our neighbor in adultery, He also commands the love of our neighbor in the way of living chastely and temperately. To live chastely means that we live in such a way that we abhor all uncleanness. That we abhor uncleanness in our bodies, in our minds, and in our affections. Chastity has to do with being sexually faithful to our spouses in the marriage bond. God wants us to live chastely and temperately. Temperately goes together with temperance goes together with chastity. Temperance has to do with being morally disciplined, being restrained according to the law of God, to control our impulses and desires, especially our sensual appetites. God wants us to live chastely and temperately, whether we are married or whether we are single. That's the way God ordained it. That's the way God created us. Therefore, we read that in Ephesians 5. Therefore, for this cause, verse 31, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What a wonderful thing is the marriage bond. A man and woman commit themselves to live together in the most intimate bond of fellowship as one flesh until death do them part. Their vow is not simply to live together, under the same roof and have the same bank account. That's not their vow. Their vow is to love their spouse faithfully. For the husband to give of himself as Christ gave to the church. And how much did Christ give himself to the church? Husbands. And then for the wife also to love her husband, to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. And how ought the church to submit to Christ? Their vow, the vow of marriage, is not a vow before God until divorce do us part, but until death do us part. God gives the gift of marriage. And in marriage, He gives the gift. It is a gift. It is a beautiful gift. The gift of sexual intimacy. To be enjoyed only in the bond of marriage. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. In marriage, husband and wife are one flesh. They are joined with one another in a way that they should never be joined with anyone else outside of that bond. Outside of marriage, intimacy, that kind of intimacy, is cheap and ugly. And that's why the devil attacks. He attacks and tries to cheapen marriage as much as he is able. One way he does that is through the music of the world that cheapens marriage. He gets us to listen to that music. How bad is that music? One survey found that 9 out of 10 songs in the top 10, 9 out of 10 songs that made the top 10 had sexual messages of one form or another. And most of those were in praise of fornication. Here's a question for you young people. Why? Or even you older among us, why would we want to listen? Why would we want to listen to that kind of music that praises fornication, that drags marriage into the gutter? But pastor, it talks about love, and love is a good thing. I say it doesn't talk about love, it talks about lust. And even if secular music does portray a marriage, as it does, I suppose, at times, yet it still does not give a biblical picture of marriage. It does not view marriage as a sacred bond made by God. It doesn't view marriage as a lifelong commitment. It doesn't view marriage for what it is, self-giving love. That's just one of the media, just the music. How about the movies? We find the same thing in the movies. Notorious! The movies are notorious for portraying all kinds of fornication and adultery. That's what makes them interesting. to the old man. Advertisements use sex to sell anything from chewing gum and toothpaste to cars, whatever it is. Novels depict the lurid details of illicit relationships. And then if that's not enough, the devil attacks marriage on other fronts as well, seeking to redefine what marriage is, some even suggesting that we ought to be able to marry animals if we want to. The devil goes about as a roaring lion everywhere, laying his trap, seeking whom he may devour. The seventh commandment, beloved, is God's barrier. God's barrier to protect us from fornication, to protect us, to protect the marriage bond. God sets up a barrier. If the devil digs a pit in the road or off the side of the road, God puts a barrier there so that we do not stray off of the straight and narrow road. And so he gives us the commandment that explicitly forbids adultery, the violation of the marriage bond by somebody who is married. That's the literal idea of adultery. But when God forbids adultery, he also forbids fornication, which is a broader category. Fornication includes adultery, but fornication is broader. And so you find that admonition throughout Scripture telling us to flee fornication. Verse 3 of Ephesians 5 again, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Avoid sexual perversion of every kind. That's what this verse tells us. In fact, those three words used in the verse, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, all of those things actually in this verse relate to sexual perversion, to which all of us are tempted. That's why the Holy Spirit addresses that word to us in Scripture, because our old man is tempted by those things. The Holy Spirit says, let it not be once named among you. You understand, the inspired apostle is not saying we should avoid talking about sexual sins, as uncomfortable as that may be. If that's what the apostle is saying, don't talk about sexual sins, then he was contradicting himself, and then we would be going against that today as well. No, what the apostle is saying is that this kind of sin should be so far removed from you that people don't even suspect you of it. Sexual sin should be unknown among you, so that it is not named. Let not fornication be once named among you. Strictly speaking, the fornication talks about illicit sexual activity that includes adultery, but also includes all sexual activity outside of marriage as well. Sexual activity that includes sodomy and lesbianism. Fornication includes polygamy. It includes sexual abuse, sexual relations over the internet or by telephone, pornographic books and pictures and videos. All of those things. Let it not be once named among you. And then overlapping that, All of these categories overlap. All uncleanness. That's what all those things are. That's uncleanness. Whether in word or thought or deed, it must not be known among you. And covetousness. Covetousness is a desire to have what doesn't belong to us. And here, especially in the sexual realm, it must not be named among you. We must not even entertain the desires. They must not be given a place in our hearts. Why does the Holy Spirit tell us these things? Because we still have the old man. That's what the context explains as well. Chapter 4 of Ephesians talks about the old man that is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And the Holy Spirit says, put off the old man. He is continually corrupted through deceitful, evil desires. That's the way the devil operates. He lures us off the straight and narrow by promising, if you go this way, then you will have joy. If you get yourself involved in this illicit relationship, that will bring you joy. Those are deceitful lusts. They are deceptive because they promise joy and they never give joy. That's the way the devil operates. He's a liar. God wants us to put off the old man daily, to turn from sin and to turn to God. That's why He gives us the commandment, so that we might live chastely and temperately. How shall we carry out that calling to avoid adultery and to love our neighbor as regards the bond of marriage? First and foremost, beloved, we have to recognize we cannot stand in ourselves. If there is anybody who thinks, I know there are other people who are weak, but I can stand, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We are not able to stand in our own strength. Without the grace of Jesus Christ, we could not stand for a moment. We would not even want to fight against sexual sins if not for the grace of Jesus Christ. And we wouldn't have the strength either. What will that look like when God gives us grace to live chastely and temperately? Well, in the first place, we will come to recognize that all uncleanness and filthiness of the flesh is accursed of God. The inspired apostle declares that in this passage, Ephesians 5, verse 5, For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. How horrible! The sins of fornication and sexual perversion are. Those who continue, the apostle says, those who continue in those sins, those who never repent of those sins, this is the Holy Spirit says, they do not have an inheritance. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Instead, they can expect only the torments of hell. Knowing God's intense hatred, and that's what the Catechism indicates we ought to develop in ourselves by the grace of God, to work on detesting the same, Therefore, we must with all our hearts detest the same. God will not allow those sins to go unpunished. And knowing God's intense hatred, we will want to develop. We will want to develop a righteous hatred towards sin. How much does God hate sin, beloved? He hated sin so much He even punished it when it was imputed to His only begotten Son. He would not let sin go unpunished. And that's the beauty also of the gospel, because by that sacrifice, by that punishment, Christ took upon Himself the punishment that we deserved. And therefore, we don't have to fear the torments of hell. Therefore, He hath given us the inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. It is a gift of God. But then we ought to say, how can I sin against Christ when He had to suffer for sins such as these? How can I go and do this wickedness? And then as we learn, beloved, by God's grace to hate the sin of fornication, we will avoid. When we have that attitude of hatred in our hearts, we will avoid also all, as the Catechism says, all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. We will not want to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't take any part with those filthy thoughts and deeds that belong to the realm of depravity. They are unfruitful. Those works are unfruitful. They don't bring any glory to God. They don't bring any good to the neighbor. They don't show love to God or the neighbor. Not only does it say avoid them, but reprove them. Avoid all those things that lead to fornication. If I belong to Christ, then I want to avoid those things. Yes, there is, beloved, the old man that wants to go into those things. The old man wants to go back into the darkness. Yes, he does. Does that grieve us? Does that grieve you when the old man wants to do that? Do you say, I don't want to go that way? Does that grieve you? Is that not an indication that we do want to do God's will? When sin grieves us, is that not an indication that we want to obey God's will? If we want nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, we're going to be careful of what our eyes look at. When that wicked picture appears on the computer screen, we're going to leave that page because I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough to let that temptation stay in front of me. And why should I open the door, as it were, turning on the television? Why should I open the door to all kinds of filthiness to flow into my home through the television? letting characters come into my living room that I would never invite into my house. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And if we want nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, then we won't fantasize about those evil works of darkness. And when I catch myself doing that, I will reprove myself. What a wicked thought! How could I think such a thing? And then I will replace that thought with a positive, lovely thought, thinking on those things that are good in God's sight. Hating the works of darkness. I won't want to go to the nightclub. I don't want to go to the disco where darkness reigns. And if I hate spiritual darkness, I won't want to listen to those unclean songs that flood the airwaves, even if the music sounds cool. If we hate the unfruitful works of darkness, we will not want to dress provocatively. That's difficult. That's difficult. It's hard to find modest clothing these days. But doesn't it come down to this question? How much do I hate the unfruitful works of darkness? Young people, if you hate the unfruitful works of darkness when you are dating, you will do everything it takes to protect yourself from temptation. Because you have the old man within you. Because the world does tempt you. Because the devil is a roaring lion. You will take steps to protect your relationship. Instead of wanting to touch each other more and more, you will say, this is not fruitful. This is not fruitful. This is not bringing glory to God. This is not good outside of marriage. In marriage, that's a wonderful gift. Not before marriage, in marriage. And what happens is that the more physical you become in your relationship, the less you focus on that which really matters in that relationship. And husbands and wives, if you hate the unfruitful works of darkness, you will not take your marriage for granted. How easy, beloved, it's easy for our marriages to drift apart. It's easy. All we have to do is nothing, and our marriages will drift apart, and the door will be opened up for someone else to offer their affection. We need to jealously guard our one flesh relationship against all intrusions. Why should we want to live chastely and temperately? Well, on a certain level, it is for our own good. It is. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Fornication defiles and dishonors our own body, sometimes leading to vile diseases. Even the world recognizes a certain benefit to living chastely and temperately. Even the world says that sexual activity before marriage always carries its scars into marriage. But if that's our only motivation, we're going to be hard-pressed when temptation comes. Why should you and I live chastely and temperately? The world says, even though they recognize a benefit in that, the world says, you don't have to. The world says, you belong to yourself. Your body belongs to you, and you can do whatever you want with your body. And then sometimes they add, as long as you are not hurting anyone. Never mind that it hurts those who are involved. But God says, I don't belong to myself. God says, I'm a child of God, loved by God. Even before the foundation of the world, He purchased me with His precious blood. And He earned all the blessings of salvation for me. And now if Jesus gave Himself, if He gave everything for you and me, is that too much for us to live for Him? Shall I go on living for myself? We are children of God. The inspired apostle brings that out before he goes into speaking about fornication in Ephesians chapter 5, but he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That is, children bought. Children adopted. Children loved. Dear children loved by God. And in that connection, we will want, if we are God's dear children, if we recognize ourselves as His precious possession, then we will want to be followers of God. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. If I'm a child of God, I will want to be a follower, that is, an imitator of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to be an imitator of God? It means if God is holy, I want to be holy. If God is pure from every spot and blemish, I want to be pure from every spot and blemish. If God detests all uncleanness, then I want to detest all uncleanness. If God is faithful to His covenant promises, I want to be faithful to my covenant promises. If God is devoted to His own glory, I want to be devoted to His glory. How fitting. How fitting. If we are God's children, that we want to live for His glory. How fitting that we avoid all sexual uncleanness. But fornication, verse 3, and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Literally, as is fitting for saints, as is fitting for those who are holy. Holy ones, that's what the word saints means. As is fitting for those who are holy in Jesus Christ, it is fitting for us to avoid sexual perversion. How beautiful when by God's grace we live chastely and temperately. What glory we give to God as He works in us to let our light shine before men. This is God's work. My body and your body belongs to Him. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Not lust, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. May God receive all the glory as we seek, by His grace, to walk chastely and temperately. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we cannot by ourselves walk in this way. We pray that Thou give to us Thy grace, that we may walk chastely and temperately, that we may give honor and glory to Thee, for Thou art worthy. Bless, we pray, our marriages. Bless all of our relationships. May they bring honor to Thy great and holy name, for it is due, it is fitting. Forgive us where we have sinned against Thee, and lead us, we pray, in Thy holy paths. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.